We have a text that's nowhere else reiterated in the Quran. There's no other ayah that repeats this. There's no interpretation in the Hadith. All we have is 40 Arabic words. And when we ask why it's not clear, when we ask why it says they did not do this, well, they and the Jews, and what about the Romans? What about somebody else? We ask these questions. That's irrelevant. You're just being picky. Can you imagine if someone came along 600 years after Muhammad, claimed to be a prophet, gave one verse denying his night flight to Jerusalem, which is extremely important. I mean, his ascension into heaven, the night flight to Jerusalem, all the things associated with that in Islamic theology. A guy comes along 600 years later and says that never happened. And he gives one verse that says it never happened. And then you start asking questions, well, what about this? It's irrelevant. Just so I said. And we're supposed to accept the overthrow of the entire testimony of the martyr church and those disciples themselves based upon that, or based upon the fact that the women were not standing exactly at the foot of the cross, but they were in the back of the room. I mean, I think those of you in the back of the room would know whether I was speaking up here or whether Doug Masters took my place three below. He's a foot taller than me. We both spoke about the same, but he's much better looking than I am. And I don't care if you were across the street, you'd still be able to tell the difference. To dismiss the women's testimony because they were watching from afar off doesn't mean they were on the other side of Jerusalem. That means the women probably did not want to be standing in the middle of the Roman soldiers. But they were watching the events, and their testimony is very, very clear. Now, there's so many things that we need to get to here. Let me just start going through all these things. Basically, Sammy has already said, hey, look, if Surah 417 is true, then historians should say that Jesus crucified, because that's how God needs to look at it. Well, there's a problem with that. It's one of the reasons there are a lot of Western Muslims that don't buy this particular perspective. Because in essence, God started Christianity by mistake. He did such a good job of fooling everybody that Jesus was crucified, that he started a religion that has produced a tremendous amount of shirt by mistake. Why would he do that? What was the accomplishment in putting something else upon the cross and making them look like Jesus? And can we prove to be the Allah mean that someone else was made to look like that? And I said it was a straw man for you to mention Jews. Is it not free Muslims? Is it not that not the majority of you find in the Muslim world? I said there were other theories out there. The Quran doesn't say, the Hadith doesn't say, but is that not the majority perspective out there? It most assuredly is the majority perspective out there. Then we had, if the disciples, as I said, they met a living Jesus. And evidently, in the opening, Sammy admitted, based upon the gospel accounts, that they encountered Jesus. But how does Sammy know they encountered Jesus? The Quran doesn't say they encountered Jesus, does it? No, it doesn't. So his opening says that they did encounter Jesus, but it was just because he did not die. Okay, but it's the very gospel that he then says we can't trust because they allegedly contradict each other, that he's relying upon to say that Jesus met them, but the Quran doesn't tell him that. So which is it going to be? And if the living Jesus met the disciples, he would have corrected them. He says, well, maybe he did. Okay, then we need evidence from the first century. These disciples would have been constantly fighting against all this proclamation that Jesus died. Because if they love Jesus, they're not going to allow lies about Jesus if you preach Jesus' name, are they? And so where's the evidence that anybody in the first century knew that Jesus had not died upon the cross? Where is the evidence? If it is true, it says, well, a crucifixion took place. Yeah, it was somebody else. All that evidence was saying it was Jesus that was crucified, not somebody else. So where are the true disciples that Jesus met and that he corrected and said, guys, I didn't die. Where is their preaching? Where is the record of their existence? If you can't find it, you're still left with 40 Arabic words all by themselves 600 years later and every other scintilla of evidence standing against that position. It was said that none of the disciples were eyewitnesses. Well, that ignores the rest of the Gospels. The very Gospel standing against the bar to know that Jesus met with the disciples. The other Gospels say that, for example, Peter, yes, he initially sees, but then he follows into the courtyard. And John, likewise, goes in. based upon the original languages. For example, they said, well, you know, this generation will not pass away. I have to believe that. It's called the destruction of Jerusalem. And there's all sorts of other scholars who have said that for a long time. I just finished going through Matthew chapter 24. You have to recognize the difference between the destruction of Jerusalem and the end days and the final coming of the Messiah. I just would suggest to say you need to do some more reading on that and not misrepresent that particular text. Mark chapter 14, apostate is in the plural, not the singular. You will see, he's talking to Jewish people, and they did see the destruction of Jerusalem and will see the second coming of Christ, the testimony of these things. Then we have all these things about contradiction. He talks about William Lane Craig. I take a completely different position than he does on these things. I'm actually responding to them, even though I can only do so very briefly. How many men and angels? Excuse me. If you go online today and read an account of the first responders, the tragedy that took place yesterday with the two female police officers here in London, if you go online and read the details of who the first people to respond was, guess what you'll find out? You'll find differences in how many units arrived, exactly when they arrived, and some people will mention ambulances, and some people won't mention ambulances. Does that mean no one knows what happened yesterday? No, it means that different people had different perspectives, and they emphasized different things in their recording of events. And so every one of these can be answered very easily, have an answer. Okay, I'll take that back. Not very easily, but if you give it some thought and recognize that each author has his own intention and his own audience and why he includes certain things. These aren't contradictions. They are exactly what you would expect when you have different people providing you with a historical perspective on what happened in the past. And I would simply point out to you, if you say, oh, well, you shouldn't have to do these things, you have to do it with the Quran. One of the chapters in the book that I have coming out of the Quran, I spend a lot of time, I had to convince my editors to let me do so. Because they thought I spent too much time. But I spent a lot of time on parallel accounts in the Quran that tell stories, and they tell them in different words. And in fact, look at the recording of the Quran of the events regarding Lot and what happens to Sodom and Gomorrah. You will have to spend time harmonizing the differences in the wording of what is recorded there. They don't all say the same thing. Are those contradictions? Using Sammy's example, the Quran is filled with contradictions. We shouldn't believe what it has to say. And I have to figure out through all those contradictions you would say, so why should I believe Surah 417 and face over, right? Not believing people is not. Not believing people is not. So the gospel is starting to sell, therefore we shouldn't believe them, in a sense, doesn't work because you can't do the same. You have to do the exact same thing with the Quran in harmonizing those particular statements. Keep that in mind. Then we are told, forgiveness does not require the atonement. Because there are people, Jesus forgave the man's sin. And people in the Old Testament, they had their sins forgiven. I just want to direct Sammy to the text in the Bible that refers to the answer to that question. Romans chapter 3, verses 24 through 26. And there we are told that Jesus was set forth as a propitiation through faith in his blood, so that the righteousness of God might be demonstrated. Because in times past, he had overlooked sins in light of what? The certainty of the cross of Christ. Anyone whose sins will ever be forgiven from the beginning of time until the last person takes the last breath, the only forgiveness of sins that will be for anyone will come because of the cross of Jesus Christ. The forgiveness to Abraham was due to the fact that God knew that there would be one who would take Abraham's place, that all of God's people would be joined to that one sacrifice, so that by his one atoning death, all of God's people would have forgiveness of sins. And that's why we do see forgiveness in other contexts. In light of that, I would direct you again to the tremendous discussion of that, not only Romans chapter 3, but the entirety of the book of Hebrews. Jesus gave himself voluntarily. He says, no man takes my life from me. I lay it down of my own accord. That's why there can be no meaningful or fair parallel to quote-unquote human sacrifice. The reason that a human sacrificed himself was because of this human life that needed atonement. It was the God-man who gave himself. He had to be God so that he could represent all of God's people and he could live the perfect life. But he had to be truly man so that the life that he gave was a true atonement. The wrath of God and the love of God had to be able to meet in one unique place. And that one unique place required a unique sacrifice. And there was only one God-man